There's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
The most exciting part of a vacation stay at a home rental? Easy. It's being greeted upon arrival with a rusted lockbox affixed to the underside of a stranger's condo. Yeah, you simply twist knobs, click gears, jiggle it, and then rip it off its moorings, and voila! Your prize is a key to a questionable home rental and maybe tetanus. When you just want to get your vacation started by actually getting into your room, it matters where you stay. At Hilton, we deliver your key right to your phone on the Hilton Honors app. Hilton for the stay.
From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Bob Oakes, in for Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Tomorrow, families across America will gather for great feasts. Many will have traveled great distances to be together. But with all the good intentions in the world, thousands will burst into tears. Thousands will storm outside to cool down. Thousands will retreat to the kitchen to say nasty things in low whispers. Why do we do this? How do we avoid it? This hour on Point, we get the best advice we can on navigating the family get-together. You can join us on air or online. Is this your family story? The happy feast goes sour. Who starts it? You? Aunt Vicky? Brother Alan? What's the cocktail of family chemistry and culture wars we bring to the table? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Joining us now from Ithaca, New York is Amy Dickinson. Her syndicated advice column, Ask Amy, is carried in over 150 newspapers and read by an estimated 22 million readers daily. She's a panelist on NPR's comedy quiz show, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, and author of the New York Times best-selling memoir, The Mighty Queens of Freeville. Amy, good to have you today.
Hey, Bob. Thanks.
And from San Francisco, we're joined by Kerry Tennis. He's been writing his advice column, Since You Asked, since 2001, first for Salon.com, and since 2013 on his own site, KerryTennis.com. He's also author of a book specifically on home and the holidays called That Special Time of Year. Good to have you, too.
Nice to be here, Bob.
So let me ask you, what is it about this holiday, about family chemistry, that can ignite all of this for some of us or many of us? And Kerry, let's start with you.
Well, I think it's that we return to the family. And the family is a system, and it needs people to play roles. And when we leave the family, we stop playing the old family role. But when we return, we're in a system that requires us to resume our former role, and it's tough. A family needs somebody to make people laugh and somebody to be good with Excel and somebody to brag about and somebody to be ashamed of, and you don't get to pick your role.
It may be partially, too, because you, if you're out on your own, have assumed the family role of someone you're returning to now who's not ready to give up that role.
Right.
Amy Dickinson, weigh in on this.
Okay. Well, Kerry, that's really insightful. And I agree. That is the essence of the dynamic that happens at Thanksgiving. And one reason, I think, is because in our increasingly fractured society, we don't actually spend much time together as a group. And so these events tend to be highly charged I remember talking to my mother, who was then in her late 70s, and she said, oh, I always feel like the baby of the family. Her siblings were in their 80s and 90s. And, you know, as Kerry said, it's sort of like once you're together, you slip back into these roles that you're playing. And it's very frustrating.
Best advice, Kerry, for people who just hate the holidays. They see this get-together as just one big repeating the hassle that we do every year.
The best advice? Could I read a paragraph?
Of course.
This woman writes to me and she says, First, thank you for being persistent with your crazy wisdom and for not giving up. I don't know why I seem like the kind of person who's always about to give up. But anyway, she's one of those people who did not want to go home. Visiting her family gets her down. And I just sort of poured my heart out to her. I said, your family is never going to be the family you wish you had, and they are never going to give you the feeling you wish they would give you, and you are never going to fit in the way you wish you would fit in. And the sooner you realize this and get angry about it and shout it out and bang your fists on the floor and scream at the gods about it and grieve it and fully accept it and let it go, the sooner you can be at peace with yourself and your gifts and the way you are loved now.
So essentially, you're saying that you have to be yourself, but you have to give in a little bit as well.
Right. You have to accept that they love this person, and you may not think you are that person, but you
also,
are.
Also, can I hop in? Also, I think this calls upon all of us to just up our bootstraps and sort of like imagine that we're mature, imagine that we're well-adjusted, and do what mature and well-adjusted people do, which is if you're dreading something, what can you change so that you won't dread it? Maybe you can take an outing. Maybe you can, you know, go on a hike. Maybe you can do something differently that pulls you sort of out of the dynamic and into your own, like into a good space where you are, where you feel good, where you feel open. I think, you know, I agree with Carrie that part of this process involves accepting this incredibly intense personal challenge, but then rise to it and do something about it.
So, just so I'm clear on this, though, are you saying bring other guests who are joining you at this particular house for the holidays on this hike, or are you saying get out on your own?
Well, whatever works for you. I actually love the – I'm a bit of a camp counselor. And one thing I love to do is to organize little outings. You can – have a work party where you're outside while others maybe are cooking and busy. You can be outside maybe clearing brush or sweeping the sidewalk or, you know, one thing I'm doing tomorrow is I'm going to church and I'm going to serve a meal for other people before I sit down with my own family. There are all sorts of things you can do to change it up.
Carrie, you wanted to jump in.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean – I agree. Rise to the occasion. Thanksgiving is a performance, and bring your best self, and things will go better.
All right. Lots of On Point listeners on the line right now waiting to speak. People who want to talk about Thanksgiving pressures with a family. Chris is calling from Detroit, Michigan. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Bob. For me, I think it's me being a black sheep of the family. I think a lot of this is a breakaway from pack mentality. I think as you come back to family, you come back to where you were. And oftentimes for me, what this was such a struggle to leave the way that things were done for something different, that upon return, you're ready to show who you are. And oftentimes that brings confrontation.
So you're saying that you're trying to prove yourself within your family?
I don't think it's a matter of proving. It's just a matter of being someone different and not selling that out and realizing when you come back there is going to be a different response to the new changes in who you are.
So do you
remember?
Go ahead, Amy. Go ahead, Amy.
Just remember, when you change and act differently, as Carrie was sort of pointing out, we all have our roles. People hate that. But just think of it like this. It makes them uncomfortable. They may express their anxiety about you being different. They may express it by being aggressive, withdrawing, behaving differently toward you. But, like, that's them, okay? You get to be who you are, but just understand that it does bring out a reaction in other people. They hate it when we change.
Right. It's scary.
All right, let's take another call. Somebody else who would like to weigh in on this. Seth is dialing from Moriah, New York. Hi, Seth. You're on Point.
Hello, Bob. This is Seth. I just wanted to weigh in and give you my little secret why I always stay happy during the Thanksgiving. And I tell you, you just need to stay high the whole time. That's all.
Well, okay. Thank you, Seth.
He's already started on his tryptophan.
Well, or something else. It does call to mind, though, that for a lot of people on holidays, especially Thanksgiving, there may be some excessive drinking that takes place, and there are a lot of dangers when that happens, isn't there?
Oh yeah,
right,
I just
to you
got
and others.
Right. I got a note from a woman who said that she and her brother are the sober 12-steppers in their clan, and they have decided they actually cannot attend the dinner this year. And they're going to be together and do something, just the two of them, which I think sounds brilliant.
Because they're avoiding the possibility of alcohol being served at the table and maybe a lot of alcohol?
Yeah, I got the sense that they were sort of white-knuckling it through and that they were trying to avoid problems. Yeah.
All right.
Even if you're comfortable with your own not drinking, it's sometimes hard to watch other people who have a problem.
Well, what's the strategy if you're the host or the hostess in this regard and you're okay with some drinking taking place around the table, but you don't want it to go overboard? What's the strategy, Carrie?
Well, there is a supply side theory that you can just restrict the supply, because some people pour, you know, it's festive and they pour and they pour and they pour. But watch it. You know, you can moderate what's available, and people who want to drink a lot, they'll seek it out. But if you subtly restrict the supply, that can have a good effect.
And Amy, what's the best strategy for dealing with someone who's maybe over imbibed?
Well, I mean, you could all take right. an outing to an Al-Anon family group, but the fact is, it's something you should pretty much try to anticipate, and because you really cannot prevent this sometimes. It's just a fact.
This is On Point. I'm Bob Oakes, in for Tom Ashbrook. We're talking about Thanksgiving get-togethers and how to avoid the perennial fights. Join the conversation. Are your Thanksgivings pretty good and fight-free? Got any advice for your less fortunate fellow Americans? What's the magic ingredient that makes people who love each other go after each other over turkey? My two guests are great and insightful advice columnist Carrie Tennis, writes the Since You Asked column, and Amy Dickinson writes Ask Amy. They both have a lot of good advice to share about how to behave and maybe how to help your loved ones behave tomorrow. Let's take a cue from a few movies, if we might, on family relationships. In the 1997 film The Ice Storm, a family sits down for a peaceful Thanksgiving dinner, but daughter Wendy, played by Christina Ricci, still manages to get a rise out of her father, played by Kevin Klein.
Well, it's great that we can all be together. And this Thanksgiving, no yelling, no hysteria, especially with your grandpa not here, although we miss him. So let's do it right. And Wendy, why don't you say grace? You still love to say grace, remember?
Dear Lord, thank you for this Thanksgiving holiday. And for all the material possessions that we have and enjoy. And for letting us white people kill all the Indians and steal their tribal lands and stuff ourselves like pigs,
okay.
Even though children in Asia are being napalmed.
Okay. Jesus, enough, all right!
Which brings to mind that politics and family often discuss at the Thanksgiving table can be a flashpoint. In some families, no greater risk of flashpoint than politics at the Thanksgiving table. Isn't that right, Amy Dickinson?
Oh, yeah. It's but this is where the – I have this theory that people hosting Thanksgiving dinners, often they just pour it all into the meal, but they sort of forget to be hosts. And for instance, they don't – one way to sort of mitigate some of this is to seat people in a thoughtful way. You want to seat people around the table, give people little place cards, assigned seats, so that you can sort of spread out. I think a lot of us know who the people are most likely to engage, and you can sort of spread them out. You can – I mean, this – toast in the ice storm went pretty badly. But one way I think is to start the meal with going around the table where each person can say what they're most thankful for in the previous year and really encourage people to participate and get the meal kicked off in a thoughtful way. You can't always control what happens later, but like get it started in a nice, thoughtful way.
Kerry Tennis.
Yeah, that's a great idea. And I like to say something about the guy earlier who talked about coming back to the family and you've changed. And this scene in that movie, you know, this person has gone off and she's encountering new ideas and she's seeing her country history in a new way. And I really believe that people need to be heard. There's a desperate need of people to be heard. And you notice the father, he shuts her down right away and he's disgusted and horrified at what she's saying. But if we as hosts could encourage others to just hear people out at length, just let them say their thing and show some respect for it, I think it could go a long way toward giving people what they need, which they don't really need to persuade you of their view. They just need to be seen and heard. And they need you to see that they've changed and they have exciting new ideas or new perspectives.
Let me get your advice from both of you on a topic that's in the news right now, if I might, a topic that I imagine is going to be talked about at a lot of Thanksgiving tables tomorrow, given that there have been protests in many U.S. cities, Oakland, Los Angeles, New York, Boston, to name just a few, following the events in Ferguson, Missouri. I'm wondering what you think about how that conversation about that topic should go around the table, especially since depending who's at the table, there could be lots of flashpoints. Should they be avoided? If so, how?
Oh, I don't think that should be avoided at all. In fact, I think for a lot of us, this is going to go down in our memories as the Thanksgiving of Ferguson, where we discussed something incredibly important that's happening in this country. I assume Kerry and I are around the same age. I grew up during the Vietnam War, and we didn't avoid these things, and you shouldn't. The one thing I would say would be to try to engage. I feel like so often kids are left out of these really important discussions, and I love it when people turn to, you know, a 10-year-old and say, like, do you know what's going on and what do you think about it? Like, what are you guys talking about at school? Just to try to, you know, keep it open. And also children can come in very handy as sort of human shields. So you don't want to discount that.
Kerry Tennis.
Right. That's a great idea. And children also pick up on the emotional reality of it, and they're frightened. Children are frightened by what they pick up on around them. So,
right. And do you want your kids, you know, do you want the children in your family to think of Thanksgiving as this combative flashpoint? No, you want to, preferably, they'd think of it as this lively, interesting discussion that sometimes it got loud and people were very passionate. But I really think I have seen kids literally flee from the table. And I would love for parents and older family members to be more aware of keeping them at the table as long as possible and including them.
Do you see this as an opportunity to encourage kids, especially older kids, teenagers, to be more aware of current events or more responsible? Do you think the conversation could be a teaching moment?
Oh, definitely. Well, it's like Carrie was saying before. Yeah. Go ahead, Carrie.
Yeah. I mean, for me, the teaching moment here is that we have still deep, deep racial pain and suffering. And at the heart of the violence is pain, is outrage and pain. And it's part of our history, and we're making progress. But yeah, I think it's a great opportunity to talk about our country and its history.
All right, lots
and also to ask kids, what do you know about this? What are you hearing? Who are you following on Twitter? What are they saying? You know,
right?
Ask them.
Right, right. Listen to them.
All right, lots of On Point listeners on the line right now waiting to speak. Let's talk to Will, who's calling from Madison, Alabama. Hi, Will.
Hello, everyone.
Go right ahead, Will.
I just wanted to say that I haven't been home since 1997. And I'm from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And I'm the fourth of six children, and I'm the oldest son. Since I haven't been there, my younger brother, who's 2 years younger than me, stepped into that role because both my wife and I were in the military. We traveled a lot, and we weren't able to get home like we usually do. But then the thing about it is like if I decide to go home, then they may still see me as Davy or whatever. So the thing about it is that even though they may still see me that way, but deep down inside I have changed. But they'll still call me by that name as if I was still younger, even though, like I said, I was the fourth or sixth and oldest son. But I learned to accept how they see me. I really didn't accept how they still see me, but I know I have to change. I know I've changed, but they still see me that way sometimes. But then in the subtle way, I have to let them know, hey, look, I'm not that person as you see me once before.
Will, are you headed for a Thanksgiving table tomorrow with family?
No, I'm not. I'll be staying home, and it's going to I'll be on the phone with my daughter because she's in college and everything, and she's having Thanksgiving with her friends, and it's just going to be my son and me and my wife, and then I'll just call home to Philly and say hi to everyone, and that's it.
All right, and you're comfortable being home.
I'm comfortable being at home right now.
Well, Will, you have a great Thanksgiving tomorrow. We appreciate your call to On Point. Let's take another call now. Tricia, calling from Sebastopol, California.
Hi there.
Hi, Tricia. Go ahead.
Hi. Well, what I wanted to talk about was, as a parent, how exhausting it is to pile your kids in the car and drive hours and hours and maybe even visit multiple houses for the holidays, and then have to deal with all of this stress. Sometimes it just kind of feels like, definitely in my own case, where, okay, it's time to start doing my own Thanksgiving and not fall into all of these familial patterns that we all fall into.
So what are you doing tomorrow? Are you going visiting with your four kids in tow, or are you staying home this year and taking a break, so to speak, from that pressure?
Yeah, no, I haven't been home to see my family since 2006 with my kids for Christmas because it was just too emotional. So I said, you know what, we're doing holidays at home. That way you just get to enjoy them more, you know. There's something about waking up in the morning at your own house and, you know, doing your thing at your own house and not having to go out and put yourself on someone else's doorstep. And sometimes there's just that feeling of it's just not even appreciated, you know?
I have to ask, does your family then visit you during the holidays, or how's that work?
Oh, don't ask.
Can I hop in here?
Yes, go ahead. Amy Dickinson.
Okay, so our caller is reflecting a pretty familiar dynamic. But what I sense she's saying is that she doesn't go home. It's not because it's a hassle. It's because it's too emotional, as she said. I have to say, some of my all-time best Thanksgiving memories are of going to visit my cousins, 30 people. I remember I slept underneath the dining room table because that's the only room there was. But so the difference between me being willing to travel for hours, you know, discomfort, share a bathroom, sleep under the table, because I felt, unlike this caller, I felt appreciated. I felt welcomed. It was crazy fun. You know, so your family can make it really worthwhile to bundle the kids into the car and drive for hours. You know, the old song, Over the River and Through the Woods, to grandmother's house we go. I mean, there's a tradition of doing that. But your family has to help make it worthwhile for you.
Carrie Tennis.
And, well, the thing that interests me is if this is the only time the family can get together. Because families can fall apart, and if you fall into a pattern of not going and not going, next thing you know, it's 20 years and you haven't seen your family. So families need to be maintained, and the great thing about holidays is that they're regular. But if the holiday isn't the right time to regularly visit your family, maybe there's a different time where you can really have a better time.
Since the caller brought it up, let me ask about kids and get from you tips for parents of kids who are just overwhelmed by the day, by all the guests, maybe in their usually quiet home if the kids are home and the guests are coming to that home. How do you handle the kids who aren't used to all these people in their house, Carrie?
I don't know anything about kids. I don't know how you handle kids. I really don't. I don't have any of my own, so somebody else is going to have to
I'm the camp counselor. So at Thanksgiving, I think it's great if everybody has a little job to do. And one way to handle younger children is to assign an older cousin to do something with them. You set up an art project. One year, I had the younger kids in our family make the centerpiece for the table. It was paper, you know, crayons, leaves, acorns, and we went outside and we gathered things, and then we put together the most hideous centerpiece you've ever seen in your life. They can make little place cards for everyone. Like, this is a way to give them a job, keep them busy, and it sort of engages them, I think, in a really positive way.
Okay, but clearly some kids in a house tomorrow are going to get out of hand. And what if the kids of your guests are getting out of hand? How do you handle them? And what if the parents of those kids aren't handling it themselves?
Well, that's something that doesn't just happen at Thanksgiving. That happens all the time.
Yeah. I mean, as somebody who doesn't have kids but watches other people, I'm usually in favor of the kids. And I tend to think that people are very sort of – I don't know, maybe because they have to live with them all the time, they're very controlling of the kids. And I don't know. I'd probably be a terrible parent because when kids are – everybody's saying the kids are getting out of control. I'm sort of getting interested. It's just getting interesting.
Another thing is in my family, we used to gather in Washington, D.C., well, out in suburban Maryland, and the entire clan, except for the cooks, we would get on the subway, on the metro, and go to a museum on Thanksgiving Day. I think it's great if you can have an outing or an event outside the household as a family. Whether it's just a big, long, messy walk around the block where you just walk in pairs and the kids are running off. And, you know, I think it's really important to do things together because it sort of helps you come together as a group.
I want to ask a quick question about pets. because sometimes a guest will bring a pet to your house. Could be the dog named Ed, the yippy little thing, or maybe your sister brings the cat because she never goes on an overnight without it. And surely, even though you said no pets, please, you didn't mean it when it came to her. What do you do if the pet is an unwanted guest in the house? Are you gracious, Amy Dickinson, or how do you deal with it? Put it outside in the garage? You've got about 30 seconds.
I think you should act like you're gracious, even if you aren't gracious.
And
look for a pet lover among your guests, because often people are happy to see the pets.
This is On Point. I'm Bob Oakes in for Tom Ashbrook. This day before Thanksgiving, we try to get to the bottom of why we can't wait to see each other on the way to the feast and why we can't stand each other at the first whiff of candied yams. Join the conversation. What's the wisdom here? Do we just outgrow our families? Do we accept this as a kind of flawed love, or can we do better? Our guests today are advice columnist Amy Dickinson, who writes Ask Amy, and Carrie Tennis, author of Since You Asked. Here's a scene from the TV sitcom Everyone Loves Raymond. It ran on CBS from 1996 to 2005. In this Thanksgiving scene, Raymond's mother, Marie, makes a turkey out of tofu, and everyone groans, especially Ray's father.
Okay, Frank, listen. Marie has cooked a very nice meal for everyone, and you are going to sit at that table and eat it.
But I don't want to.
We are not discussing this. You have till the count of three. One.
I'm not going.
Two.
All right. All right.
Good.
Ta-da!
Hey.
May I have my carving knife, please?
Thank you, Frank.
I want to slit my throat.
You know, lots of various disagreements around the table. Here's a conversation, or I should say, here's an email from our website just a couple of minutes ago. It's from Dan B. If Thanksgiving sucks for you, just walk away from it. I did it a couple of times, and it was great. Take a vacation that week instead. Go to the Caribbean, Paris, or anywhere else, if you can afford it. Apologize profusely to the character actors that make up your family. I'm so sorry. I always wanted to visit Bora Bora, and I have some unused vacation time, so we thought we'd go this week. I promise I'll visit you guys real soon, though. And then from KMB a few minutes ago as well, also at the website, in tough situations, I try to act as if I'm having a meal with someone else's family. It keeps my expectations low and my own behavior kind. Let's hear from On Point listeners now. Go right back to the phones. Dawn is calling from Normandy, Tennessee. Hi, Dawn. You're on Point.
Hi, Bob. I'm a retired law enforcement, and the holidays are a really busy time if you're in law enforcement. And what it seemed like we ended up getting is a lot of families would get together, and people even lived in the same town, and they wouldn't see each other all year, but they felt compelled to come together on that holiday, and invariably they would get into a fight or there'd be some altercation, and sometimes it got to the point where the police were called. And on a lot of occasions, I've had conversations with the group, and I would say, if you hate each other, and you can't stand to be around each other all year, why do you come together on a holiday? If you don't like each other, don't come together. And one of your guests were saying that you need to work on your family dynamics and you need to be together, and I agree with that. But if you're not able to or you're unwilling to, don't feel obligated to be around your family just because it's a holiday.
Carrie Tennis, what do you think?
I absolutely. Just stay home and call the police from there. No, seriously. Well, my wife and I are taking a break this year. We're just driving up to Napa with a friend to have a nice, quiet dinner. Absolutely. If your family dynamic is such that it tends to really get to the point where you're calling the police, then absolutely, you're free to take a vacation from Thanksgiving and Christmas and all that.
Ask Amy Dickinson.
Well, absolutely. And I can understand why this is a busy time for law enforcement. It's a pretty high-octane holiday. People who, as we said earlier, many families are very out of practice. They don't spend time together, and they come together on this pressurized holiday, and they drink, and it's a lot of people in a small space, and all of the old feuds get resurrected. So definitely, and it's interesting to me how many people are calling in saying, I haven't been home since 1997. You know, people are avoidant, and that's probably smart.
Right. And one more thing, if you want to get out of spending Thanksgiving with your family, join law enforcement.
Yeah, really.
All right. Let's take another call. Kate is dialing on point from Bedford, Massachusetts. Hi, Kate.
Hi, Bob. I just your earlier discussion of sharing about young adults at the table, it just brought back this incredibly clear memory. Both my parents have now passed, and I'm very much missing the touchstone of being able to go and be with them as an adult in my 40s. And I have this very clear and dear memory of coming home my freshman year from college in the late 80s, and my father complaining about in Center City, Philadelphia, there being a rash of ACT UP triangles spray painted all over downtown Philadelphia. And I had just had the great honor at college of getting to hear the founders of the ACT UP movement speak. And the student body, you know, gathered together, and I think we stormed the president's house and had a huge protest. And I went home, and when my father brought this up, I said, well, Pop, you know, maybe you're having an issue with this because you haven't come to terms with your own tendencies towards homosexuality. And there was a big pause at the dining room table. And but the good news is that as inflammatory and as slightly disrespectful as that comment was, it led to a wonderful conversation about about LGBT rights and about what was going on at the time, which was a very very, very intense time in American history, I think, in the gay community. So I just miss them, and I'm grateful that I had that opportunity and that my father saw me as, you know, a young person saying sometimes disrespectful things, but wanting to honor where I was at that point in my life. So
Kate, I need to ask, do you have kids of your own?
I do.
And what are the conversations like then around your table at the holidays? Are the kids old enough to have serious issue-related discussions with you?
Well, they're quite young. They're 11 and five-year-old boy-girl twins. So the topics are a little bit less loaded, but we often try and give them an opportunity to speak up. And I think what one of your speakers said is that they'll speak a truth that will bring the group kind of down to the essential points of life, which is that we're all very lucky to be together. So,
Kate, that's beautiful, actually. And it reminds me of another little sort of table trick that I really enjoy. If each person can sort of write down a very short sort of tweet-sized memory of a favorite Thanksgiving, Kate, yours would be the story you just told us, and then you pass your little note to your left, and each person reads out their dinner partner's memory. And when kids end up reading the adults' stories, it's really sweet, and it's a way to sort of keep those stories alive and share them. So I love that. And I also appreciate how, like, you went there. That's what young adults do. And it created for Kate a really happy, beautiful memory.
I'm wondering, since we were talking about college kids there for a moment, you know, no one probably feels more out of place around the Thanksgiving table than the boyfriend or the girlfriend that your college kid has brought home. Advice for that, you know, somewhat out of place young man or young woman, Carrie Tennis.
Oh, be nice. Be nice. Be clever, not too clever. Be funny, but not too funny. Shake everyone's hand, smile, laugh, toast them, talk to the mom. Sit down in a chair with the dad. Watch TV. If you don't know anything about sports, just yell.
Amy Dickinson?
And also say, how can I help? And just do a little job, whether walk around holding a dish towel, and it will look like you've been very helpful, even if you're not. I love the idea of bringing these guests to the table. They in our family, we have a tradition, lovely, really, a little hazing, little gentle hazing of the boyfriend or girlfriend. And it's, you know, it's a little test to see how good humored they are. And if you pass, you're in.
So that's one way to treat some mom and dad can treat a person when mom and dad might be even a little uncomfortable about having this newcomer around the table, especially if it's maybe the first boyfriend or girlfriend that your son or daughter has ever brought home.
Oh, it's a pretty loaded moment. But actually, one other good aspect of having a new person at the table is that it does tend to keep the dynamic on the civil side. Like we have, I live in a college community and we'll often have, you know, somebody from another country who doesn't do Thanksgiving. And so people tend to be on a little bit better behavior for a guest.
All right, let's take another call. Kara is dialing On Point from Austin, Texas. Hi, Kara, you're on.
Hi, Bob. My family's challenging in all the usual ways. You know, the politics are at odds. The old frustrations and pecking orders all come back alive, you know, at the Thanksgiving table. But what's made a difference for our Thanksgiving is, you know, years ago we started just getting our arms around other friends who maybe don't have family or can't get home for Thanksgiving. And just having someone at the table with a sense of humor, with stories that we haven't all heard before, it kind of raises the bar a little bit on everyone's behavior. And reminds people the whole reason for being together is it's not just this insular shared DNA family thing. It's about coming together as a society and being grateful.
So essentially you're saying invite someone who is intentionally the buffer.
Well, not to sort of use them as body armor, but include them graciously in a celebration and then just let it be. You know, of course, the level of dysfunction could be such that you wouldn't want to expose your friends to your family, and I understand that, but there's a lot to be said for bringing people's better angels out in company of people who aren't your family.
Kerry Tennis, there can actually be no more amusing or fun holiday than having a stray around the table, so to speak, someone who doesn't necessarily have any other place to go, and to have a strange face there can be kind of a challenge, but can be kind of very nice as well.
Yeah. We gather together all our shared DNA, and then there's the X factor there. Everyone's looking at them. Yes, outsiders are great. Quiz them. Oh, and possibly a little mild hazing might be in order.
All right. Amy Dickinson on this?
Yeah. I mean, as I just said, I think that our caller really illustrates this point that bringing in someone from outside the family, A, you're sharing your feast with them, which is the whole idea. And you're introducing a new person, a new topic, and people tend to be a little better behaved.
All right, let's talk more about behavior and the challenges around Thanksgiving by talking to On Point listeners. Cynthia is calling from Bethel, Connecticut. Hi, Cynthia.
Hi, Bob. I think my family Thanksgivings would have benefited from a laugh track like Everybody Loves Raymond. It might have, broken the ice. I have a horror story. I'll probably skip that for time, but I tend to be a strategist now because I went through hellish Thanksgivings as a child. Well, I will tell you, complete with my sister throwing the turkey out on the patio because my other sister wasn't helping her make mashed potatoes, and then my Uncle Billy throwing a drink in someone's face. So I think that the real troublemakers need to be banned or admitted with a proviso. I think that bad behavior should not be rewarded if it's really extreme. The other thing I tend to do as a strategist is I think it's incumbent on the people who are actually conscious, and we all know who we are, to serve as, kind of mediators or diplomats. And, you're probably not going to get a real dysfunctional family to get all thankful, but you can at least diffuse it. You can I say throw in a bunch of kids, because when the kids outnumber the adults, it's always a good time. You know, so I, those are a couple things that I have.
All right, Cynthia, thanks. Carrie Tennis, let me ask you, what do you do when there's extremely bad behavior around the table, as the caller was just talking about, when things get really angry and really heated? How do you diffuse the moment?
Well, you know, I just spent a few days with some friends of mine, and she happens to be a judge, and they had Thanksgiving last year, and they had to ban someone from the house. And for just a couple of years, and until there's an apology. So it was a written, I guess, you know, it was like a writ or something, a letter, sternly written letter. I don't have an experience with it myself, but I was curious to see that certain measures were required before the recalcitrant guest would be allowed back.
Amy Dickinson?
Oh, yeah. I think it's completely appropriate to ask, well, to let someone know that due to their behavior last year, they won't be asked back. I think that's completely appropriate. Now,
Do you bounce that person today, though? I mean, in other words, in the middle of the Thanksgiving meal, if the bad behavior rears its ugly head, do you play nightclub bouncer and ask them to leave?
Well, listen, it depends totally on the situation. And frankly, some of us aren't big enough to bounce others of us. But I think if it's possible, you want to ask, hey, Uncle Buck, can you come help me out in the kitchen here and have a little cool off period and ask this person to behave differently? Absolutely.
I want to thank our guests today for their great insight and great advice for us all ahead of Thanksgiving tomorrow. Carrie Tennis, author of Since You Asked and the book That Special Time of Year. Carrie, it was great talking to you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
And Amy Dickinson, who writes the syndicated column Ask Amy, panelist on NPR's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, author of The Mighty Queens of Freeville. Happy Thanksgiving to you, Amy.
Happy Thanksgiving, Bob. Thank you so much.
Continue the conversation and get the On Point podcast at our website, onpointradio.org. Follow us on Twitter and find us on Facebook at On Point Radio. Coming up tomorrow, On Point, all about hard cider. It's all over these days. I'm Bob Oakes, in for Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.